to see how good my glasses are.
You don't have any appraisals or anything like that on Ancient America, do you?
No, I've seen that.
We like yeah. seeing you squint, Jeff. You were telling me about how young you were.
Good.
Well,
we're going to call this BOE session to order here. We have James Strahan, assessor Bob Paulson, Dave Oliphant, Chuck Pennell, Jim Strafis, and the clerk's staff here, Donna, Cindy, and Jim. So, first thing on the agenda is the approval of minutes for 7:14 and 7:21. You should have them in front of you.
We didn't get the 14th done last time.
We did,
no, we sure never got to it.
You guys reviewed it last time?
We didn't.
Did you?
The minutes? No.
Okay, well, I was thinking, I had one here, I thought I said everybody want to vote on that or something. Maybe I didn't.
At the beginning, you said at some point today we need to do that. And
okay.
Then
we never got to that point.
We never got to that point.
Dave, how was it you put that? Something about an hour?
Huh?
What was your statement about an hour?
So that was an hour ago. That was more than an hour ago.
Yeah,
oh, kind of like, I don't know, I've slept since then.
Yeah, it's the same one. Okay, so we have the minutes, but we also have the work session. So if we want to go ahead and just bypass the minutes while people can review them, if there's a chance to, if there's a lull in the moment with Mr. Paulson, then we could go on to that. So Mr. Paulson... I guess, Cindy, let me ask you this question first. Kelly Trimble is planning to be here.
Yes. I spoke with him this morning to be sure he was bringing his laptop, and he is definitely coming.
All right. Board, should we just wait for him? Or because I hate to start discussing things like this without... He was one of the ones that called the meeting.
Huh?
Why don't we do this? Why don't we recess for 5 minutes, and while we do that, we can review the minutes and then come back on. And we can be. So let's just recess for... 5 minutes, yep.
Well, just to let you know, we have some stuff from the assessor to present today. We have stuff for filler time, anytime you have any filler time.
Have you killed it yet, Jim?
Do we have an extension cord anywhere?
I unrecess. And let's just jump to the assessor stuff or the, as Donna said, filler stuff.
These are definitely not been presented.
Okay.
We had had a group of them that had been presented, and a couple of them for some reason got on top of the ones that hadn't been presented, and we assumed this whole stack had been.
Okay. No. You can probably have, it's going to be the minutes.
It'll be in the minutes.
Nikki can find the exact day. Per column inch wasn't in there? The tax sale one was 2 weeks prior, 2 weeks after the other one.
Mm-hmm. I want to say it was 570, but I'm not sure.
I bet you Nikki can find it in their office, so if you...
I'm just going to tell her she needs to check. Okay. We'd rather check out.
Yeah. James, go ahead, sir. Sorry about that.
Some time ago on 02-2.2-09-000-000-005.000. Sometime or another, some ag land got, there's 8.6 acres out there, and all we had on this was a site prep value. And
we take the ag land off, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, we added the land back.
Okay.
So far, nothing.
And we're just asking to add the $1,200 worth of ag land back to this market.
Okay.
So moved.
Second. Okay. Motion by Dave, second by Jim. All those of making that adjustment, say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries 3-0.
Well, this is the correction.
Yeah, we were going to recess.
Can you give me what that was?
What the parcel was?
No.
Dave made the motion.
David brought me one.
I made the second.
Thank you, Cindy.
The power cord behind it, you don't like that one?
It doesn't reach without hanging
oh.
the...
Oh, no, that's fine. Here, get, help yourself. I was just asking.
I could use that one, but then it would be triple.
James, go ahead and give us another one.
08-9.0-29-002-001-014.007 is a late call-in for 2010 as these condos are res, not commercial. I'm assuming that it occurred sometime during the year that a purchase... that we had them commercial last year, and the people said, no, 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 they're not. So I thought I'd better bring them in front of the board. That's BOE number 81, 82, and 83, all owned by Krause Trust.
And you verify that they're, however you verify that they're residential then?
Yes. But we cannot change it through our actions.
So he's asking to change commercial... to residential for three condos.
Make a motion to do so by his recommendation.
Motion by Chuck.
Second.
Second by Dave. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. 4-0. Kelly's been introduced. Kelly Trimble's here now. Jim. And for those listening in who will someday listen in.
Are there people actually listening to this?
Four people from the outside world.
Oh, you can actually tell.
Yeah, we know how many. That count is for the outside world.
Oh, okay.
Now, internally, we have a different count.
All four superintendents, right?
Probably all four superintendents. Next one, James.
Okay, 18-6.0-24-001-002-005.002. There was an error in square footage. We had been asked to remeasure it. We remeasured it, and we've got the old versus the new here.
Going bigger or smaller? I assume it's going smaller. Because
smaller. Base area and smaller adjusted both. So it's a total remeasurement.
Okay.
So moved.
Motion by Dave to accept the smaller.
Second.
Second by Chuck. Any more discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 4-0.
This says this has to be a BOE change 17-3.0-06-003-003-003.001. BOE change deleted combined with 203, and it's just a confirmation on a mapping combined. We deleted one parcel, which is the BOE numbers are 68 and 69. It's a mapping thing.
So you're just taking one off, putting one on?
Right, just combining them.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Chuck, second by Dave. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries.
Same valuation, James.
Yeah, it's just a combined mapping.
You have any more over there?
Yeah, I got another mapping, 18-1-11-004-001-007.004. Wrong tax code was for CXB and should be for CXWX. It's an annexation that was missed. We're just asking to change it. I don't really know that that's a BOE move, but my mappers get gun-shy on them after the books close.
Okay.
So moved.
Motion by Dave.
Second.
Second by Kelly. All those in favor of making that change, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 4-0.
Got another nightly rental that the letter came in. They'd purchased it. I don't see the date of purchase, but they say it's never been on the nightly rental program, and it'd just be a matter of changing it from nightly rental to residential. The note says change for 2010. Parcel number 18-1-1-4-2-0-003-0-003. 2023-06.32. I didn't use all the zeros because I can't pronounce it well. Did you get the number right? Okay. BOE number 65, and it's a letter stating it is not in the nightly
report. And so you got that affidavit?
Yeah.
Is that the word?
Yeah.
Motion to approve.
Motion by Chuck. Second by Jim. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 4-0.
BOE number 78 and 79.
78, 79, okay.
This is a this is Point Royale condos where we'd put a multiplier in, and we should have took it back to 88% for 2010. Didn't work. We didn't get it right, and we're moving those back to the 88% good. There's two of them.
BOE numbers?
Eight. BOE numbers 78 and 79.
All right. So you're reducing the multiplier?
Yeah, we took them back to 88%.
Gotcha.
And took the multiplier off.
Okay.
So moved.
Motion by Dave, second by Chuck. All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carried 4-0. Last one, or you got two more, or what do you got?
I've got one here on parcel. BOE number 85 is a miscalculation on a barn size. Oh, wait a minute. Miscalculation on the land. And we're just asking on 2-2.2-09-0-0-4.0. We had a miscalculation on the barn that dropped it a little bit of nothing, but it should be dropped. And we're asking for you to approve that.
So moved.
Motion by Dave.
Second question.
Second, yes. By Chuck, discussion.
So how does this come about to you, James?
People see them on the internet. We got the GIS systems out there, and they go, my house or my barn ain't that size or something of that nature. Most of it is the GIS capabilities of people to get a GIS mapping right on the internet and see it at their home.
So this is a good thing.
Sure.
Accuracy, right?
Right. And they can question.
So if you got it on too small, they're not coming to tell you.
That's probably true also.
Sure. Although we've had we have calls on people that says that maybe their photo isn't correct and we're off one parcel with the photo and we correct that. So, yeah, it's a good thing.
Maybe a program where we offer a reward for neighbors who know that their neighbors' properties are not too small and they get a proportion of the extra.
Discount off their tax.
Yeah.
I'm reminded of a barn issue a couple of years ago that came, and it was voted not to hear it in the BOE. How is this different?
That was late after the tax bills had came out and missed all the time frames. I remember that issue. And this is different because this is an 010 that an erroneous error had been.
Gotcha.
And that issue had been corrected for 10.
Gotcha.
When you brought up.
We have a motion and a second on the floor, I believe. Mm-hmm. All right, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries 4-0.
We're not on this list yet, are we?
No, that list starts at 1 o'clock, I believe. We've got the...
Oh.
What we've got is... we had a stack of things that just need to get cleared up.
Yeah.
And then we got the discussion.
Discussion.
Yep.
Okay.
In BOE number 75, 76, 77... is something that's going to be coming through an abatement for previous years. These are billboards that the collector asked us to go out and verify whether they were still there for her to sell.
Okay.
So we did. those in yellow are the ones I named, are gone.
So we need to take them off the books?
We need to take them off for 10, and there will be abatements coming through to the BOE, normal BOE for the other years. But we're asking to adjust the 10 books so we don't have that problem.
So BOE numbers 75, 76, and 77 you want us to remove off the books because they don't exist anymore for 2010?
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes, and actually, we've already done the previous years through abatements through BOE.
Okay, good. But we got to get them off the 10 book, and you guys are the only ones that can do it.
So moved.
Second. Motion by Dave and seconded by Chuck. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
I've got a 80, BOE number 80, and all it is, it looks like an increase notice on the HCW house to show that we'd taken it and we were going to use this as a reference, I'm assuming. But I think the BOE already made the move on that. Didn't we talk to HCW the first?
I'll double check on that, James.
We did have something. You're talking about Mr. Huffman's first house?
Yeah, it's on Payne Stewart Drive.
Mr. Huffman's house we did hear already.
I'll double check that.
Okay. But double check this one. Okay. It may be another house. I'm not sure, but it's BOE number 80.
Okay.
And BOE number 71 is very, very controversial. A letter was sent in, which is 18-1-12-4-1-45.1. Here's how the letter was received by the assessor's office when we asked the lady if it was on the nightly rental. It is rental property, rental agents, Thousand Hills. It is not a timeshare. Do not something this form to me. Return this form to me. She's took an ink pen and circled out both, is it a nightly rental or is it not? This letter has come to me. Then Sheila Wyatt responded to it. And then comes notes, please check if this nightly rental or not in return. What do you not understand? It is a rental, not a timeshare. Year contract.
So it has a one-year contract?
I guess, Jim.
One-year contract with who? With the management company that rents it out on a weekly basis?
Well, can we see that document? So I guess the question that comes down to then is...
It's not. I have found out here in 10. It is not.
A nightly rental.
Yeah, and then Sheila White tried to help her out to explain to her what she needed to do and the Board of Equalization stuff. Here's the letter from Sheila to her.
So she rents it out on a month-by-month basis?
Most of Thousand Hills stuff that they manage are longer term. It's not weekly and nightly.
It depends on which firm. You're right. Most firms are.
And she's still.
Did you investigate? Is it 30 day or more rental, or is it less than 30 days? That's what the question is.
I didn't go try to rent it, but her final statement as saying, all you have to do, ma'am, is say, this is not a nightly rental. Her final statement is, as I see it, a rental is a rental, no matter who has or has had the property. So she just went all the way around it throughout the deal. But I have found out through phone conversations, it's not a nightly rental.
All right.
But not a nightly rental. I
wanted to show you guys why we went ahead and tagged it.
No matter how...
Is it rented for less than 30 days at a time? Mm-hmm. What you found out, is it rented for less than 30 days at a time?
When I talked to her, the final impression was that she rented it on a contract to a monthly rental part of it.
If that's what the evidence is, then it should be exempt.
That's
It should be residential.
That's what I wanted in a letter. But this is what I get.
What the BOE number is 71, I believe you said.
Right.
Are you comfortable with it taken out of the nightly rental? I mean, for us being
sure. But now,
commercial to residential.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm comfortable with it.
Okay.
But in this process of letters, she's wanting 2 or 3 years refund and all this type of stuff, and I don't think the evidence is there. So.
Can't do it anyway.
Yeah. On BOE number 71, I move that we change it for our 2010 from commercial to residential.
Second.
Motion by Dave, second by Chuck. Any more discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Sure.
Motion carries 4-0. Let us now switch gears, if we may. This is Bob Paulson time. Bob, we've asked you to give us some discussion regarding the airport lease. And when we talk about the airport, you can include both or separate, however you want to do it. The floor is yours.
Okay. I had a meeting with the attorney for the airport along with the CFO and the director of the airport. They provided me with what they believe the case law was. I've done my own investigation, looked at the cases. In fact, I've even contacted the State Tax Commission to get an opinion from them. Let me just read from Frontier Airlines, Inc. versus State Tax Commission. It kind of gives the how you figure this out. What we have is obviously county property that it was deeded to us when we formed the TDD, and we leased it to the TDD, who in turn leased it to Branson Airport LLC. And Branson Airport LLC is the private entity that's operating it, leasing it from the TDD. Both the TDD and the county are exempt. Okay. It's county property, TDD, lease, so they're both exempt. Branson LLC is not exempt. However, the real estate itself would be exempt, but the assessor has assessed against a leasehold interest. So the question now is, how do you measure the worth for assessment purposes of a leasehold interest? And here's what the court said in Frontier Airlines, Inc. versus State Tax Commission.
Bob, could I interrupt you?
Okay.
I know probably everybody but me understands it, but the leasehold interest, can you explain that briefly?
Okay.
Is that what this is about?
Yes.
So it'd be good for me to know that, right?
The lease may have an interest, and that's about what I'm about to explain.
I'm sorry.
What they have in the case.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Mr. Kenley is an assessor's appraiser, who the court adopted his rather than the one that the... The formula or method used by the assessor in arriving at the foregoing valuations was obtained by him from John Vaughn, Jr. of Los Angeles, California, an expert in the field of real estate appraisals. On the other hand, the appellants relied upon the testimony of Walter R. Kenley of Chicago, Illinois, an expert with 47 years' experience in appraising real estate and interest therein. These two experts used widely differing methods in arriving at their opinions concerning the valuation of the interest here involved. The court adopted Kenley's of Chicago, but here, let me explain what he said. Mr. Kenley stated that in appraising a leasehold interest of a tenant, the proper method is to determine the value of the property, the economic or rental value thereof, and the contract rental of the property, as well as the length of the term of the lease and other provisions thereof, which are the obligation of the lessee. He stated that it's a method accepted by appraisers everywhere. I know of no other way you could do it. He further stated that by the use of this method, one could determine the present value of any bonus to the lessee by the terms of the lease. And they give an example, that if the contractual rental was less than the fair market value, the leasehold would have a value.
That's right.
This method was illustrated by a simple example as follows. If a store building being rented for $250 a month is worth $500 a month, the value of the interest would be the present worth of the bonus for the remaining term of the lease.
That's right.
And an example that I would give you is if it's worth $500 and you're only paying $250 and it's a 10-year lease, you've got a $250 value times 10 years.
For 10 years.
Yeah. And then he goes on to say that, on the other hand, if the lessee was paying $750 a month for a store worth $500 a month, the lease would, of course, have a negative value.
That's
and
right.
You'd put it at zero.
Okay.
So that's how you determine a leasehold interest.
what is the fair market value of that lease? And if it's worth more than that, for instance, if they could sublease it, you know, for more than that, even if they can't sublease it, if their value is...
No, but they can, if they have a marketable lease, regardless of whether they can sublease it, someone looking for that property can either pay market rent on something else or buy their leasehold estate.
Right.
And it's the value of their leasehold estate right. that we're taxing.
Right. So what we have here is a determination that we have to make based upon the value of the lease. And what are they paying for a lease? And I don't have the lease in front of me. However, it's my understanding from the airport people that they are paying the bond payments as a lease amount.
That's correct.
If that is correct, then we would have to be able to find someone else who would rent the airport.
Not necessarily. But go ahead. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I agree with your statement. I'm generalizing here.
Okay.
Who would rent it, and I can't think of them renting it for anything but an airport to get the kind of value that we would need to equal the amount of what they're paying in the lease.
Okay. Yeah.
And in order to come up with the market value, there'd have to be somebody else willing to pay the same amount that the current people are paying, more than what they're paying, and then it would have a bonus value. Do you have
either another market participant or just show that it that the market rental to the existing tenant
is less than the fair market value?
Yeah, the market rental to the existing tenant is more than what their contract rent is.
Yes.
Yeah, it's worth more to the airport or competing.
But if you don't have anybody else that's willing to pay it, the market rent obviously would not be more than...
Well, you're looking at, then you're getting into a problem of what's called a limited market property. The property still has a market value, even though how do you find a buyer for it? I mean, it still has a value. And what the court describes as the method of determining the value of a leasehold estate is 100% correct, but a
value without a buyer and without a renter doesn't have a value.
Okay. No, that's a misnomer. I mean, there's a lot of special use properties in the county that have a value, even though it's going to be difficult to find a buyer. And I'm trying to think of a real good example. That you're valuing, like Celebration City has a value, even though it's going to be very difficult to find a buyer. You're going to have to find another amusement park operator to buy it. So there is a market value to it.
Okay.
Basically, so it has a fee simple value, and the difference between what they own and what they would own if they owned.
What you would expect someone in their situation to pay, what you would expect the fair rental value to be, is what you're saying.
You're looking at what is someone going to pay them for the rights of their lease. If they're paying market rent, their lease isn't worth anything. If they're paying less than market rent, their lease isn't worth
anything. Simplifying it, would anybody pay more than the rent that they're paying right now?
Yeah.
That's in simple terms.
In simple terms.
And
that's the way James should be doing all the leasehold estates in the area. And I think by just segregating them between land and improvements is an oversimplification. There's a lot of properties that he's overvaluing. There's a lot of leasehold estates that he is dramatically undervaluing. Examples being the old airport property that the city is leasing to all the tourist businesses out there, where they're just taxing them on the improvement value. So... But anyway, I'm sorry.
But again, we don't know without looking at the lease, the term of the lease, how long the bond payments are, and
we need to look at.
Okay, hold on.
We have to have the lease.
Let him answer.
Okay.
Let him answer.
We have to have the lease in order to make the calculations.
And do we have the lease?
Right. We do have the lease. I do not have it with me, but we do have the lease.
Okay. So we need the lease to create. Determine a value, is that correct?
We need the lease, we need the amortization of the bond payments, obviously, if it's based upon the bond payments. And the term of the lease, I believe, is somewhere in the neighborhood of 45 years. For instance, if the bond payments were made after 40 years, they would have 5 years, presumably, without any rental payments at all, so it would have a future value that's taxable. And questions I would have would be... maybe some of this could be negotiated because there may be some other leases out there at the airport that are taxable.
Well, so I guess my question is, Branson LLC got a assessed value. Did Enterprise Car Rental out there?
Enterprise Rental got one. Was it Famous Dave's, the restaurant, got one?
Yeah, just out there where they're exempt. They got them on all their stores.
And they may have bonus values.
They don't have no money.
They may have bonus values. I don't know what their leases are.
And then Bass Pro has a gift shop out there.
Okay, I wasn't aware of that. But
I don't understand one thing. What bond payments has anything to do with the valuation when you make a principal payment at your bank on your motel? You cannot deduct it from your income stream.
I think that's because you. I think
that's
what they're doing is
you own the property. You're not leasing it from the bank.
The lease is based upon the bond payments.
Right.
I mean, we could say the lease payments are $1,000 a month if that's what the bond payment was. But what they're basically saying is, look, the lease payments will be what the bond payment is. So you need the amortization.
Yeah.
It's like the owner saying, I have a mortgage of $200 a month, but it changes around. Sometimes it's $300. Whatever my mortgage payment is what your rental amount is.
Yeah. I have a pretty good background in leasehold valuation. I think like a month ago I did the McDonald's side up here. But to answer James's concern, if your loan payment was set up to where you're paying that to the bank, that the bank would be owning what's called the leased fee estate, and it would have a corresponding value.
That the bondholders own this?
No, apparently the TDD owns it.
No. The county owns it. The TDD has a leasehold interest in it, but they're exempt.
No, wait. The TDD has what's called a sandwich leasehold.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So if the county and if the TDD were not exempt, if they were XYZ Corporation leasing to Taney County Airport Partners,
would be taxed on the improvements.
No, it wouldn't be taxed on the improvements. They would be paying the value of their leasehold estate, which would be the present value of their bonus value, what advantage they have in their lease. The lease income going to XYZ Corporation would determine the value of what's called the leased fee estate. So the leased fee estate would have a value, the leasehold estate would have a value, and the combination of the two is going to
simply put, if we weren't tax exempt as a county and the TDD wasn't, we would be paying taxes on the value to us of the improvements.
No, you'd be paying taxes.
That's the way everything else is taxed in the county. Why would you do that?
And it's wrong. If the county was...
Doesn't matter how you calculate it.
Let me finish.
Okay.
If the county was not tax exempt, they would be paying on the present value of the lease payments plus the present value of the reversion at the end of the lease.
And what does that determine? That determines what their value in
the
improvements
is. That's the value of the leasehold estate on the site and improvements.
If you own it, though, you don't have a lease. What you have is a piece of property that's valued at a certain amount, and you're using the leases to value the property. It's still the value of the property subject to however you calculate it.
That's if you're getting market rent.
Okay. So
if you're getting...
Go ahead, Dave.
So on my strip center, I shouldn't pay it on the value of the improvements. I should pay it on based on what my rental is coming in.
The value of your fee simple estate is equal to the market rental of all those. The value of your fee simple estate of that property is equal to the present value of the net income you get from it extended into the future. All right, let's say that instead of renting at market, you rented it at half of market. Let's say instead of getting whatever it is, $8 or $12 a square foot, you're getting $3 a square foot. And the tenants would then have a leasehold, if it was a lease for term, for long term and all that, to create an actual estate of land. Let's say they had a 30-year lease in your building for half of what the market rental was. They would have a valuable leasehold estate. But the value of your interest in the property would be devalued by approximately the amount of the value of their leasehold estate. By putting a lease that has less than market value, you're dividing the value of the fee simple between the guy with the lease and the guy with the property. So the leasehold estate, the leased fee estate would be devalued by approximately the amount of the value of the lease.
So what we're really looking at here right now in the downturn in the economy, and we went back to these type of appraisals, we're probably worth a negative $1 billion instead of a positive $1 billion.
Okay.
No, that's not
right. Stop. Stop.
Good.
All right. So I'm going to let Bob do some more talking
okay.
here. Bob. So you've what? Said that we need the lease and the term of the lease. We need to know what the bond payments amount are.
Yes.
That's one option. The other option is to come to some sort of compromise. Is that correct?
If they're willing to agree to an amount with the assessor and we're able to approve that amount based on something.
The case law you just brought up, the Frontier, did they were not exempt. They just paid a reduced amount. Is that correct?
In that case?
Yes.
Basically, they found that that it was not there was a zero valuation because there was no bonus value to Frontier Airlines, and there were some companion cases. Avis Rent-A-Car and Hertz Rent-A-Car were also involved, and they basically adopted the Frontier Airline case decision.
Uh-huh.
And there was a separate issue because the city in those cases of St. Louis sued as a party, and they said, look, you don't have an interest in the real estate, you can't be a party to this lawsuit. And that's all they decided in the rental car cases, other than what they'd already decided in the Frontier cases. We're the owner, not a city.
So let me ask you a question. In earlier discussions I've heard you had, maybe with myself or James, we talked about the improvements on the land. Like
right.
Enterprise, for example, built a car wash out there.
That is not on Branson Airport LLC property. That is on Branson Land LLC property.
Okay.
Which is taxable. It does not belong to the county.
And that is.
If it's not on county property or TDD property, it's not exempt.
Okay, so.
And it's taxed as if they were just a private owner, because they are.
The only thing I have a question about the court case versus what we've got here in front of us today. Do they have the right to remove their lease from that structure? Do they own that big of interest in that lease? Can they say, hey, Famous Dave's restaurant here, we've decided to fold up and leave. Can they remove that structure if they have that much ownership?
They can. Branson Airport LLC can
right.
make any renovations they want that are allowed under the lease during the period of their lease. Now, these are fixtures. At the end of the lease, they wouldn't be able to remove them. But, I mean,
but
basically...
But any time during the lease, they would be able
for
to
the per, for the purposes of the lease is for, they can do whatever they want with the property,
okay.
Subject to the lease.
Okay.
So, let me ask you a question.
Please, Dave.
If Branson Airport is getting rent from three or four places out there, if they want to rent out, you know, 25 or 30 more rental properties on Taney County-owned land and bring in a tremendous income, let's say that a retail shopping center wanted to go in somehow out there or whatever, but all of that money coming in to them, if it's more than the bond payment, then they have a... They owe taxes.
Bonus value.
If it's less than that, they don't, is what you're
that
saying?
That increases their lease, the value of their leasehold estate.
That's correct. But if they have more than a one-year lease, the people they're leasing to have an estate and land, and if they have a bonus value, their leasehold interest is also taxable.
They may have a leasehold estate also, although I think it's harder to prove to someone leasing a unit in something.
It's difficult.
Has,
yes.
And that one's going to be difficult
questions?
To prove.
Nothing yet? Just absorb it? Okay.
So, if I can make a statement, what the courts describe is fairly straightforward. I mean, it really is the way you value leasehold estate. This is a complicated subject, and it's hard to get your head around. And it's frankly something that they don't teach in basic appraisal courses. It's something you get in the more advanced MAI sort of courses. And it's usually the more advanced appraisers end up doing them because there's a lot of present value and discounted cash flow stuff to it. There's a lot of ins and outs to it. But the value of leasehold estate is fairly straightforward. In order to value one, you absolutely, without a doubt, have to have not only the lease, but whatever else is referred to in the lease that determines the lease payments.
I would agree with that.
The last question I have on it, if yes. Famous Dave's sells out to Good Time Charlie's, I'm just using names.
As an example.
We're looking for a real estate value that they would purchase, and under this scenario, it's just sign it over because it's worth nothing under the leasehold interest.
Yeah, if they're paying market rent, their lease is worth zero.
So who's going to sell to who? I'll give it to you for free. I'm going to sell this real estate that I've built up.
They may be selling their business, but the value of their leasehold estate is worth zero if they're paying market rent.
Okay, Bob, this is, you know, obviously this is a work session because of all how complex it is. Have you reviewed what James has put on the books, assessed-wise?
In depth, no. I know that he's got quite a bit of money on the books, yes.
Okay. There was some discussion about, you know, and when I talked to the airport back before, when they first got the first notice, whatever, back in March or whatever it was, they said the airports were exempt. Are they still going off that, the whole thought that if it's an airport public structure that it's exempt?
It is not exempt.
From that perspective?
From the leasehold being taxable. Now, right. It may be a zero value, but it's not exempt. The property itself is exempt because we are exempt as a county, as the owner. In the sandwich lease, as you use the terminology, they are also an exempt entity.
Okay, so the land itself is exempt?
No.
We own it.
The county is exempt.
The county is exempt.
The county doesn't own the land. They own the leased fee estate in the improved property.
The county owns the land.
We owe it in fee simple.
You owe it? No, you owe it
subject to the lease.
Fee simple, subject to the lease. But the county owns an improved property.
We own an improved property, and we own it in fee simple, subject to whatever leases exist.
Subject to their rights of the lease.
And the lease that we have is to the TDD, which is also an exempt entity. So their leasehold interest is exempt.
They're in the sandwich leasehold interest.
You made a statement that said fee simple on an improved land.
On improved property.
On improved property.
Land and improvements.
Okay. I guess what I'm trying to get my head around is I'm trying to think where James came from. The property's been improved.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and Branson Airport LLC or whatever it was, are the ones that improved it.
Okay.
They have still improved the county's property.
The value that's taxable, okay,
right,
is the leasehold interest that
goes back to the lease of the value of the lease.
If there's a bonus value, then that's taxable.
So we'll have to determine
right.
The lease, the proper lease amount.
You have to determine
the market value of the lease.
The market value of the lease versus what they're paying. And that determines...
And discount that to a present value at the appropriate rate.
I think where we're missing the boat here, and I know I'm wrong before I say it, but I'm going to say it anyhow.
Go ahead, James.
All right, this is a privately owned airport. What's required to run a privately owned airport?
It's a privately operated airport.
Okay, yeah. It's privately. But on lease on county ground. Do they need Famous Dave's there? Is that a requirement to come up with your leasehold interest? Do they need Avis Car there? Or can they call
value.
A tax? This has been created to the airport. This is not a leasehold interest that is required of that airport being there.
Not sure I understand exactly what you're saying. They are leasing the improved property, and they're doing everything they can to derive all the income they can from it. They build a Famous Dave's, they lease to Avis and all that stuff. That's part of what makes the airport valuable, is their ability to lease to all of these other entities for ancillary services.
It may increase their leasehold interest to more than the market value if they have enough of those entities in there.
And there's a division between their entrepreneurial reward for putting all that together and what the real estate is really worth.
Right.
So to figure out this project.
But if they've got long-term leases with all of these people, those leases would be assignable.
If they close these down, that airport would still operate today. If every private business that's in there, it would still operate under the same efficiency as flying in and out to the airport.
It wouldn't produce the same income.
Hold on.
But in that desirability, I think the way I'm understanding is, I don't necessarily agree with leasehold, but that's what the law says, I guess. But their leasehold, by being able to lease those things out, it makes their leasehold worth more.
Yes.
So the more things they rent out, they're going to get up to a point where it then it is taxable because it's...
Dave, I think I got a simple question, and I can put Kelly to work. How did the bonding company come up with this amount of money to bond to this place if it wasn't in the value of what was going to be there?
Well, that's kind of what I'm...
How did the bonding company come up with the value of what's sitting there if they didn't know what the value was?
They just wrote a check, and that was supposedly spent on the property.
They signed a contract unbeknowing, and they based those bonds on appraisals, but an appraisal of the situation says it's worth zero.
The lease was done to the TDD and to Branson LLC, Airport LLC, simultaneous with the signing over of the property in fee simple to the county.
To the county.
It was all one transaction.
Yeah.
All in land. No improvements there when this bond
was set.
Well,
the improvements were obviously going to occur because the reason we did the TDD was because they were going to use it as an airport. And they had estimates as to what it was going to cost them. So what they set up, and I have to look at the lease, is that the lease payments would be equal to the bond payment amounts.
Which is a little bit screwy, but that's what their lease is. That the
and we need to look at the lease.
I got some thoughts.
That's nothing to do with the bonding company. It's just that's what the lease
is. That's what
on.
Their payments are to TDD.
Okay, go ahead, Chuck.
I don't know where these fit, but James, you said something about the airport would continue to operate if those businesses weren't there. And I don't think that is what would happen because in the experience we had when they came to us to try to get the county to put money into it, they've got this all figured out. They've got to have these incomes from the rental and the Dave's and all these places
to make it work.
To make it work,
yeah.
for them to provide. So if they just took all that stuff away, all those uses of the improvements, the airport would be closed.
Well, it's a promotion of cannibalism. If I was Famous Dave's and had a good business at that airport, I'd shut my other Famous Dave's down and operate it as a tax-exempt entity right out of the airport.
The leasehold interest is...
If it was tax-exempt, but it's not tax-exempt.
The leasehold interest is not tax-exempt, and Famous Dave still has to pay a tax on their leasehold interest.
Go ahead, Chuck.
Again, I don't know where this fits in the whole scheme here, but again, through that process, somewhere I picked up that, don't know that this is fact, but that the federal government kicks in like 40% of the cost of running an airport, all the other airports in the country. We've spent millions of dollars on the Springfield Airport just recently.
Right.
The government, we the people.
Yeah, we all did.
So to provide a service to all the people that's available, all the people that's got money to fly on an airplane. Again, I don't know where all this fits, but there is an advantage to the public. There is a positive thing to the public that airport is there. I mean, people can go in there and they don't have to drive Springfield or Harrison to fly out. Sometimes cheaper price and blah, blah, blah.
Otherwise, we shouldn't have done the TDD.
Well, there you go.
The leasehold interest, and that's another thing that when you get into the appraisal, I'm not a very smart man on the MAI stuff or whatever, but I do know it's unconstitutional for me to assess that McDonald's arch sign at that building on 76. And all it is, it's a leasehold advertisement, but I can't tax that piece of property or assess that piece of property as McDonald's. It's a brick building.
That's right. It's a brick
building. A brick building sitting on a piece of property. But yeah. Now all of a sudden we start taxing leasehold interest, such as that's a lease to be that golden arch there. We can't tax something because it's a Walmart
building.
You're
taxing the bricks and mortar.
Yeah, you're not taxing the lease end of what that's advertising. So, but no, all of a sudden, this leasehold interest...
You're not allowed to tax the value... Well, actually, I kind of think you are allowed to tax...
The entrepreneurial value is what you're talking about.
You're not allowed to tax the entrepreneurial value.
Walmart's going to make more money than XYZ.
But in that case, Walmart may be paying a lease to a property owner somewhere.
Right, but it can't come back and be appraised back to zero just because they're paying it to a property owner somewhere through a lease.
Well,
even
no,
if they're a tax exempt entity.
If they're paying it to a property owner.
And City of Branson. Say they're paying it to the City of Branson.
All right, let's use
a rule. So their leasehold interest is zero?
Let's use a couple of real-world examples over here. You got McDonald's down the street here, and I don't know the exact numbers. I can't remember the exact numbers, but, I mean, it's on a site that's like a $300,000 site, and they're paying like $30,000 a year rent. Mm-hmm. Now, if they're paying $30,000 a year rent on a $300,000 site, if the rate of return is 10%, you know, they're paying about market, and their leasehold estate is worth zero. They go and build a McDonald's on it. Now it's worth $1.5 million, and they're only paying $30,000 a year rent. They have a value in their lease, even though somebody else owns the property.
Well, the value of that lease is only the value of the building, as it would as it would be to another entity, not because McDonald's is there, because that would be taxing the entrepreneurial value.
It's what the market value of the building is.
Well, this would be the question I'll put to the BOE.
Okay.
If you're going to go with exempt entity, lease to TDD, let's change that exempt entity to TIF and see where we're going to be bringing values.
Well,
what is the difference in a TDD and a or TTD and a TIF?
TIF. There's a lot of difference. Tax increment financing doesn't have to be a city or county owned property. It doesn't have to be exempt property. It's a blighted area. It's a financing technique. And all of that property may be taxable, but a part of that property tax is seized for the payments of the bonds. It is not necessarily county or city or governmental owned property. It's not necessarily exempt property. It's a total different situation.
I'll rephrase it. What if?
Okay, hold on.
What if it were?
Go ahead, Dave.
I've got a question. There's approximately, as I understand it, 400 and something acres that was deeded to Taney County.
Correct.
And that's where the airport itself sits. Did you assess Branson land separately for their land, which is another 500 acres, and the car wash and some of the other improvements on that? Did you assess that separately?
Questions.
Let him ask that.
I don't know, Dave. I can't answer that. I'm sure we did if it said Branson land. We taxed everything, so that's what we're doing here today. We assessed everything.
Is there possible that you could get us copies that about the BOE, that they're bringing before us? What are they bringing for? Just the terminal and the 422. I mean, what are they bringing? Just the 422.
They're bringing forth the property that's exempt because it's owned by the county and the taxable of their leasehold interest. That's what they're bringing forth.
They admit they owe taxes and they're willing to pay it on the other stuff. I just wondered how much of it, what type of assessment we put on the other versus this. Did we get some of it intertwined or anything?
I don't know the answer to that.
It's right there at the airport, but it's actually an adjoining property that doesn't belong to the...
They owned all the property around there before we formed the TDD.
Right,
and when we formed the TDD, they took the property they were going to use for the main airport, the 422 acres, and deeded that to the county at the time that the two leases were entered into.
Okay.
Right.
Kelly, you had a question.
I'm missing something here. Is there a difference between Branson Airport LLC and Branson Land?
Yes.
What are you talking about there?
Branson LLC is the operating company that runs the privately owned airport.
Okay.
Branson Land is the land around the 500 acres around the 422 that's owned by the county.
All right. What's the use of the 500 acres?
It's whatever. Some of it's a parking lot. Enterprise has a car wash there.
It could be made more valuable by the exempt land in the middle.
Is the land that you're talking about referring to as Branson Land LLC, is that owned by the county?
No.
Okay.
Separately owned.
So that should be taxed.
Right. It should be simple. The question Dave, I think, has is could during the assessment process get some of these entities mixed up.
So that you're misapplying improvements to one.
Possibly.
Okay.
Possibly.
I have another. All right. Just another. I know how I'm going to figure it and how I'm going to vote on it, propose, and all that stuff. Besides needing to know what their lease payments are and what their expectations are on the lease, we need to determine what the reasonable expectation of the market rental is going to be through the remaining term of the lease.
Well, that's kind of difficult over a 45-year period to know.
Well, no, but you make projections on that, and there's ways to determine that using the assessor's calculations on values and some other things. But it sounds like, and in my discussions with them, they weren't claiming that he calculated the value of the leasehold wrong. What they were trying to tell me was, we're an airport, we're exempt too because we do this great public service.
No. That wasn't their position with me.
Is not their position with you. Okay, they're saying, they are now saying, Jeff Bork was saying, we're doing this wonderful thing for you all, you need to run our taxes down to zero. You're saying now that their attorneys are
He may believe that, but that's not the legal argument. The legal argument by their attorney is following these cases that...
Their legal argument is we're calculating the value of the leasehold to state it correctly.
You are absolutely 100% okay. Correct.
All right. So that's where we're at now.
But
wow, that was something.
I still...
Whoever you agree on something.
Okay.
100%. What kind of taxes are we putting on personal property out there? You know, they own a lot of things in there.
They've got all kinds of rolling stock and machinery. They've got one X-ray machine that's worth $2 or $3 million, and fire trucks.
Baggage handling machines, all kinds of stuff.
A bunch of that stuff. And there's a division. Some of it's actually owned by TSA. Some of it's owned by them.
And that's what
I think the stuff owned by them.
That's another question I have is from James, is how much of that stuff is assessed as personal property?
All the fixtures.
Maybe that's where a lot of stuff to go, fixtures and everything else.
All the fixtures and the rest in Famous Dave's, all those fixtures should be personal property.
But I'm kind of negative on the leasehold, even though that's what the law says, because if we get into it there, how many other things are we going to get into that all over Branson?
I think that's what Kelly was referring to in his comments.
We can get more money in areas and less in others.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. But our assessor cannot go around asking everybody how much rent do you pay and what's your payments on it and everything else, trying to determine all that.
I think they should.
I think that would be an impossibility. I bet that's not done in hardly anywhere in the United States.
I don't know the answer to that.
I guarantee you it's done in other parts of the United States.
Especially in more metropolitan areas.
I know
we are an unusual rural area in that we're a first-class county.
Yeah,
we're
unusual for to have what looks like a fourth-class county where you have a whole bunch of valuable leased property. It's unusual in a place like this. But, yeah, you go to any big city, there's leasehold estates and all kinds of stuff.
And that's what the assessor is assessing.
And they can give that information or be assessed the way the assessor is assessing it.
And they will give that information.
So let me ask you a question. Kelly, you made a comment earlier. You said you think you know which way you're going to be going. Can you give us some light of what you're thinking?
Okay. Basically, exactly like that case says.
I'd rather not hear this right now until...
You'd rather not hear anything then?
Well, that's... I mean...
You want to take a recess?
I want to take a recess.
How about a five-minute recess? Wait. Before we go to five-minute recess.
Before we go to five-minute, we've talked a lot about the bond payments is what the lease is.
That's correct.
And so I'd be interested to know what are the bond payments over the next...
We need to see those. We need to see the lease. We need to see all these things.
I can tell you what their debt services are. I mean, I know how much the debt services are.
What I'm saying is this whole thing can be negotiated by the assessor and agreed upon amount.
If I can address your comment again, is this done all over the United States? Yes, it is. It's a real big topic. Usually what you have is a situation like the McDonald's over here, where the leased fee is owned by somebody who's taxable. And the leasehold is owned by somebody who's taxable. The assessor just sends one tax bill, and then that tax bill, the taxes, who pays the taxes, is either addressed in the lease, or they negotiate out how they divide the taxes between the value.
Okay, that's what I was getting at.
Where you get into a problem is, all over the United States, there are places where you have a tax-exempt entity that owns the real estate and leasing it to somebody who's not tax exempt, and there's a creation of a valuable leasehold estate, or the other way around. There's a lot of cases where private entities own property that they lease to the government, and they lease it to the government for less than market rent. They have to pay tax on their leased fee estate.
The other thing we need to look at is if there's anything that deals with tax payments in the lease or in any of the organizing documents.
That's well,
because that could dictate how we do.
Still, the leasehold estate is still taxable. How that's paid is up to them.
I understand, but if there's something in the documents that they've agreed to, then
it's very, very, very possible that the lease could be 200 or 300 pages. That's not uncommon.
I know.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do this. It's 11 o'clock right now. Let's recess for 10 minutes. That way it gives us a chance if everyone wants to talk to Bob individually, get some answers, and we'll come back out of recess at 11:10. So, recess. Okay.